there are two groups that we need to think about. One is the so-called Shabab, and then the other is the rest of the Union of the Islamic Courts. The Union of the Islamic Courts are already and have been in Mogadishu, while the Shabab were by and large outside Mogadishu, and it's they who have come close to Mogadishu, have captured two sort of small seaports just south of Mogadishu. The effect that these movements are having is that it seems to me that the transitional federal government virtually is non-existent, as the president has said. And therefore, there seems to be a political vacuum, and that so-called Shabab or youth will, I think, very soon be able to be on the outskirts of Mogadishu. And if there's an agreement between the Shabab and the Union Islamic Courts, then the TFG virtually will be done.
Can you explain the relationship between the Shabab, the militia, and the group of Islamists who held power before the TFG gained sovereignty? And tell me how we can expect the militias to interact with the Islamist politicians from here on out.
Well, you have, during the Union of the Islamic Courts domination of Mogadishu in 2006, the Shabab was a fragment or a part of the Union of the Islamic Courts, but it seems to be that significant number of them have broken away from the rest of the militias, which are still loyal to the UIC. My sense is that they have been interacting in different locations in the country, and it doesn't seem there has been too many struggles between them. So if the Shabab or the youth are able to come to Mogadishu in force, which seems unlikely for the time being, then if history is any lessons, it seems to me that there may not be any conflict between them. And it all depends whether a conflict emerges or not on the ways in which the Shabab behave themselves.
How close do you think we are to another successful insurgency that would overtake efforts by the TFG and the opposition from forming a stable government?
Well, the TFG or the TGF virtually is defunct. The president has said so, although the prime minister claims that he's trying to put together a coalition to form a cabinet. My sense is that the TFG, for all practical purposes, except at the level of having recognition on the international community, the UN and the AU, are virtually done. So they don't really have any effect on the ground, except in small areas of Mogadishu and small areas of the small town of Baidawa, where the parliament is seated, and many of those parliamentarians are in Nairobi, Kenya. My sense is that I don't think the insurgency will move to create a new regime immediately, but it simply will make the old one defunct. The second thing to know about is that there are sufficient Ethiopian troops still in Mogadishu and in Baidawa and in a few other areas of the country. And so what will determine, I think, what becomes of this new insurgency is the ways in which the Ethiopian government will react to that, because in the past it said that it considers the Shabab as a terrorist organization and that it will not sort of stand by the wayside to see them take over the country.
Do you think that the anticipated Ethiopian troop pullout has accentuated the looming power vacuum in Mogadishu?
No, I don't think so. The power vacuum was there except in few spaces, the presidential palace and a few main streets to the airport were the areas that were controlled by the TFG. But for quite the last 8 months, I think the Union of the Islamic Courts militias and the Shabab militias have basically controlled maybe 80% of the country. So although the noises are growing sharper and sharper now, much of the country was already in the hands of the Union of the Islamic Courts and the Shabab militias for quite some time.
What do you make of the reported split between the two rival Islamist militias, the so-called Djibouti and Eritrea factions? Who do you think has the upper hand, and how does the current military offensive play into their respective goals?
I think what has happened, despite the political split between the Asmara wing and the Djibouti wing, is that the folks who are doing the fighting on the ground have by and large remained united. And so that is split, at least immediately, will not have any effect on the ground and who becomes successful. The second thing to note is that there is a meeting that's being organized by those folks from the Union of the Islamic Courts who have been directing the operations in the ground in Somalia itself. And they have been appealing to those factions to come and join them on the ground so that they can be reunified. But I think that meeting will take place in about a month or so, from my information. The point here is that what's happening outside in Djibouti and in Asmara is not having terribly serious effect on the unity of the troops on the ground.
Well, even though the UN has tried to back the transitional government in its efforts to govern, a peacekeeping force has never been put into place. Do you think it's too late to consider such a force, given the impending vacuum left by the Ethiopians' departure?
The Ethiopians have not departed. They still have at least 5,000 troops on the ground with significant armament. So I think Prime Minister Meles could possibly order the troops to sort of immediately immediately act. Because I think last week when the so-called Shabab captured the town of Marka, which is about 90 kilometers south of Mogadishu, Ethiopian troops moved from Mogadishu into another town on Afkoye on the way to Marka. So that is still a major factor. I think the AU force has been relatively ineffective and impartial. But unless there is a political agreement between the so-called transitional government, the Ethiopians, and the Union of the Islamic Courts and the local militias, injecting more troops into the ground from the UN or the AU might be counterproductive, in my opinion.
The imposition of Sharia law continues to spread in areas under Islamist rule. The incidents such as this past weekend's whippings of 32 dancers in the southern town of Balad, do you think that they are being addressed by the international community and might cause some international action to be taken?
No, I have not seen any movement. There has been a few places where I think, if I'm not mistaken, the State Department of the United States has condemned that kind of operations. But my thing, the United Nations and the international community cannot really do much about that except to act against the whole insurgency. What might be important here is to encourage civic Somalis, who are both moderate and good Muslims and who are nationalist, to begin to speak against that. It's only the local groups, in my opinion, that can have a moderating effect on those forces.